When the Countess scrambled to her feet with a radiant smile, the secretary knew immediately who was at his back. He shot up off the chaise, open appointment book hugged to his chest, and with the sudden depressing realization that he had pressed wet ink to the front of his best brown wool waistcoat. "Bloody hell," Salt exclaimed, bringing himself up short and retreating to stand in the doorway at the unexpected sight of half a dozen of his upper servants occupying his wife's sitting room. Despite his embarrassment at being in a state of undress, the kitten intrigued him.
"Where did you find such a ferocious animal, my lady?"
"His name is Viscount Fourpaws," Jane told him, brushing out the creases in her petticoats.
She scooped up the mewing kitten and presented him to her husband.
"I'm sure he thinks he is very ferocious, which is all that matters."
Salt held the tiny bundle of white fluff in the palm of one large hand and unconsciously tickled its throat with a long finger.
"I see her ladyship has received more than a kitten by this morning's post," he commented,
not surprised by the array of gifts and flowers piled on the sofa and scattered over the carpet. He had a fair idea who they were from. At the tennis tournament, every male present had complimented him on his wife's beauty and grace. He smiled down at Jane.
"And who sent you this brute?"
"Lord Church," Jane told him simply, and retrieved the note that had been tied to the kitten's basket. "See? Oh, how silly of me, you don't have your eyeglasses," she apologized.
Salt slipped the card into a pocket without reading it, looking even more uncomfortable, if that was possible, given he was unshaven, his hair fell unbrushed about his shoulders, and he was naked under a flimsy silk banyan. She took back the kitten when he held it out.
"Return it," he ordered, and addressed his secretary. "Ellis, I'll see you in the bookroom in an hour."
Then turned on a bare heel and strode off through Jane's apartments to his own. Jane followed, kitten clasped to her silk bodice.
"You can't be so mean-spirited, just because I made a slip of the tongue about your weak eyes."
"I'm not that puerile, you silly girl," he answered gruffly, marching onwards.
"If you want the truth, you are just being stubbornly unreasonable about wearing your eyeglasses in public. Poor eyesight is nothing of which to be ashamed, not when you are perfect in every other way. Everyone has some physical flaw they do not like and cannot alter."
"Ha! Thus spake perfection herself."
Jane frowned.
"Now who's being childish? Just because I have a pleasing countenance does not mean I don't have flaws. I wish I were taller and plumper, like most females. And my mouth, I don't like it. I have a perpetual pout. It makes me look the spoiled child. Don't laugh, it's true."
Salt stopped at the door to his rooms and faced her with a smile.
"I like you just the way you are, Jane. Particularly your lovely mouth. But the kitten must be sent back."
She blushed at his simple compliment.
"And you're just as handsome wearing eyeglasses," she said shyly, looking up at him. "The kitten stays."
"How can you say that when you've only ever seen me wearing the damn bloody nuisances once, and that was years ago? The kitten goes."
"I must be one of the few people to have ever seen you in your eyeglasses, so it's not something to forget, is it? You're just being stubborn. I won't send the kitten back."
He leaned his wide shoulders against the doorframe with a huff and pulled out Lord Church's note and held it up to her.
"What does it say?"
She read the note aloud.
"Dear Pascoe," drawled the Earl with a twisted smile, "here's all consideration for your welfare, my lady. He makes my wife a mother when I cannot. The kitten most certainly will be returned."
He wrenched open the door and kept walking until he reached his closet. To his surprise, Jane followed him through to this most private of male bastions. When Andrew saw the Countess, he immediately downed shaving blade and leather sharpening strap and covered a bowl of soapy water with a hand towel. With a bow, he retreated to the dressing room to occupy himself until such time as the Earl was ready to be shaved.
"You believe by sending me the kitten he is having a cruel joke at your expense?"
Jane asked calmly, stroking Viscount Fourpaws because he was mewing and probably in need of another bowl of cream after all his exertions with the ribbon.
"But if you make me return him, won't Lord Church know he has gained his object?"
"It doesn't mean I have to accept his substitute for a child."
Jane tilted her head in thought.
"How does Lord Church know about the physician's diagnosis?"